Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 7th day of December, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and let's see. December 7th, I don't know. If you're public school educated, there's probably nothing about that date that even rings a bell. And I guess part of the problem is that there have been so many days that should live in infamy over the last couple of years that even sneak attacks are almost getting to be passé. But I have a strong feeling, just wait. So I feel inclined to start off today with some indicators that might help to make that point. First, from Zero Hedge, U.S. math scores on an international exam have scored yet another all-time low. And this provides, says Tyler Durden summary, the first comparison of global achievement since the pandemic radically changed education around the world. Well, the left has been working on that at home for decades now, and the evil fruit's been obvious for decades as well. According to data released on Tuesday, though, American 15-year-olds had a 13-point plunge, and it was from a really low level already, out of 1,000 on the PISA, or Program for International Student Assessment exam, given last year to 620,000 students in 81 countries worldwide, said Peggy Carr, commissioner of the National Center for Education Statistics, in a statement to the WAPO, quote, "These results are just another piece of evidence showing the crisis in mathematics achievement." And I need to put the word sick in after achievement, don't I? Only, she said, now we can see that it is a global concern. I guess the point is, if you want to kill people by the millions, you better dumb them down big time first, right? From a pitiful average of only 478 out of 1,000 back in 2018, oops, and I guess I'm dating myself, but back when I was in school, anything less than half on a test was an F. That doesn't mean fine, it stands for failure. Anyway, from an already pitiful score of less than 48%, U.S. math scores tumbled even further to 465 in 2022, which I guess is an even bigger F. And maybe, folks, they demonstrate why it is that so many people have been so dumbed down in the public cesspools, especially mathematically, they can't understand even what a 20-sigma outlier is, whether we're talking about election rigging or data that shows you're being poisoned by the Zyklon B injections, whether most Americans haven't figured that out yet or not. Many of them died before they did, of course. Here's the coup de grace in the story, though. The education secretary said that this relative ranking comes at an extremely tough time in education, but, quote, "these results also show that we can't be satisfied with the status quo in education," unquote. No, folks, they won't be happy until the average dumbed-down American scores zero on anything related to math or logic. It's white supremacist, don't you know? Besides, men aren't good for anything other than having babies, right? This next item, I think, follows logically. In an update posted December 1st, the Federal Center for Death and Control warned that respiratory increases are on the rise, especially among young kids whose parents have been duped into giving them the Zyklon B injection, among other attacks on their developing bodies from masks to mind control, besides just dumbing them down. Just maybe that's what happens when you destroy people's immune systems. I'm going to skip over some of the usual CDC propaganda here, folks. Suffice it to say that more and more people are suffering from respiratory issues, including pneumonia, and there's a major uptick among kids that, up until they started getting Zyklon B anyway, really never had a problem with the booga-booga flu to begin with. So let me reiterate a point that's been obvious for two full years, but now we're seeing it exactly as you would have expected come to fruition, as people are starting to drop dead from things that have been done to them by a disreputable and outright satanically evil, mass-murdering, genocidal cabal of criminal three-letter agencies, corporate public-private partners, and NGOs, both in the U.S. and internationally. They need to not only cover their tracks, but find lots and lots of new scary things to blame it on, anything other than what they've been doing to you. And guess what? They're not done yet. There's going to be more hair of the dog, and you'd better learn to recognize it now. From there, on we go to what your host has contended is the deliberate destruction of the U.S. military, and I guess this follows logically as well. Courtesy of author and captain, U.S. Navy retired Brent Ramsey, via Real Clear Wire and also up on Zero Hedge. And it asks the question, is the Navy dead in the water? And Captain Ramsey begins by quoting the U.S. Navy's own website and their mission statement. Mission: the United States is a maritime nation, and the U.S. Navy protects America at sea. Well, maybe that's good, folks, because there sure as hell isn't an army or air force protecting it from the southern border via either land or rivers. But the rest of the article makes it clear they're not even doing a very good job at that. There are many indicators, says the author, that the Navy is at increasing risk of mission failure. Number one, they've missed recruiting goals by thousands for 2 years in a row now. Guess why? Whether it's teaching politically correct BS and absolute insanity in place of things like actually performing their mission, or simply requiring sailors, Marines, and Navy pilots to take the Zyklon B poison injection against their will, there's a lot of reasons why anybody that doesn't fail basic math would say no to it. And I guess we shouldn't forget, would you want to have to kowtow to a commander-in-chief that can't do basic math or even know when he needs his diaper changed? Number two, due to international wars on multiple fronts, Ukraine, Israel, and of course, Taiwan right there on deck, the U.S. Navy's had an almost unprecedented 8 carrier groups at sea at the same time. The normal number's 3 or 4. But the trouble is, most of those probably aren't even seaworthy, for reasons that I just finished outlining. Number three, the Navy's high suicide rate over a lengthy period of time demonstrates a tragic failure of what used to be called leadership. Longer deployments, high OP tempo, and of course, the aforementioned injections and dumbing down. Number four, notable institutional leadership failures in multiple program areas with multiple high-profile operation failures. Well, they're now far too common to even enumerate, but there are a few examples here. Well-documented cases like the LCS and Zumwalt ship classes, the USS Ford classes, cost overruns, lateness, multiple numbers of ships that are not fully operational, even after years of being in commission. The loss of the USS Bonhomme Richard, a multi-billion dollar capital ship that was lost due to negligence and allowed to burn at pierside, a $3 billion loss with no replacement. A vital attack submarine, the USS Connecticut, has been grounded and is out of commission for years for repairs. Similarly, the USS Gettysburg, 4 of 7 cruisers selected for so-called modernization, will instead be decommissioned after the Navy spent billions on upgrades, and let's not forget the collisions of the USS McCain and USS Fitzgerald with commercial ships. They're being called failures of leadership that led to the deaths of 17 sailors. I guess that's small potatoes compared to what Lloyd Austin's done now, isn't it? And other failures that continue for several more items. But the conclusion, says the author, is that all of these factors make it clear the Navy is in extremis. There are simply not enough ships to do the mission, nor enough manpower, especially if you poison them, folks, to man those ships optimally. Oops, did I say something that the Navy doesn't want to teach anymore? I guess you're no longer allowed to man anything in this, whatever's Navy. This Fuzzy's Navy? How about we try this nowadays? They just don't have enough trannies to tran those ships. Item, and I guess this helps make that point, but on an even bigger scale, the U.S. Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps have grounded their entire fleet of the V-22 Osprey tilt-rotor aircraft as of Wednesday evening in response to what was called a tragic accident the week prior where a tilt-rotor aircraft crashed off the coast of Japan, resulting in the loss of 8 lives. Some are calling the V-22 the Widowmaker at this point, and this time the military is saying that preliminary investigation information, yeah, sure, are you trusting them, folks? I know I don't at this point, indicates a potential materiel failure caused the mishap. But the underlying cause of that failure is unknown at this time. I wonder if a dead pilot with a heart attack slumping over the controls is a possibility. Well, if it is, you're never going to hear about that, and you know it. Certainly not from the Navy, officially, and certainly not from the waste stream. Anyway, however, we do have this. Within the last week, Navy Lieutenant Ted Macy, active duty officer in the Navy Medical Service Corps and a whistleblower, revealed Department of Defense data showing a significant rise, to put it mildly, in heart-related issues among military pilots after the mandated COVID-19 not vaccinations. As a matter of fact, heart issues are up 973%, call it an order of magnitude, since that act of treason by the U.S. military. From there, I guess this also seems appropriate. I've been following this story now for several days, and as you might expect, the Gateway Pundit is right on top of it. First, it was the U.S. House of Representatives, the Congress, which blocked America's representatives from having access to the Gateway Pundit. Now, says an update, it's the Pentagon and the Air Force. Representative Matt Gaetz was among those who said he frequents the site and acknowledged the censorship, saying, quote, the U.S. House of Representatives has blocked access for congressmen and congressional staff to the Gateway Pundit, and he intends to investigate the censorship. They include lots of pictures of the website-blocked Achtung Verboten message with the seal of the U.S. House of Representatives in the upper left corner, which is fitting. One of the stories they obviously don't want the Congress critters to know about is the criminal activity of the fake president. They've been covering it for months, if not years. You know, Biden's secret dealings, emails. He said he didn't have any contact with Hunter's business dealings. Turns out he was on the take, and the big guy was getting his cut all along by various aliases, too, now all revealed. Here's just one of the stories they don't want you to hear about. They certainly don't want Congress to hear about it. And it was Senator Ted Cruz who basically said nobody pays millions of dollars to a crackhead. I think he means the junior Biden Fuhrer, because Hunter doesn't provide any services. Well, other than bribe funneling, said Senator Cruz, not only via the Gateway Pundit, but also Newsmax. They're probably already banned, too. The Biden crime family and the senile big guy have, quote, lied at every stage. Every stage, he said. His defense has been proven to be a lie. He said at the very outset of the campaign, he said he had never discussed overseas business with his son. That was a lie. We now know there were dozens of such conversations. He said he never met with his son's overseas business partner. That was a lie. We now have multiple pictures, multiple meetings, dinners in Washington, D.C., phone calls with those business associates. The Democrats said there's no direct evidence of money going to Joe Biden. That was a lie, and you can guess, folks, there's a whole lot of other reasons in here why the Gateway Pundit just needs to be banned, and anybody else that tells the truth likewise. Now, the trouble is, Senator Ted Cruz is actually there in that same building, so some of these Congress critters may end up actually hearing about it firsthand, whether you're allowed to or not. Oh, yeah, and after a list of other high crimes and misdemeanors, Ted Cruz says, quote, it's a cover-up directed by the most partisan Department of Justice we've ever seen, unquote, and that's arguably an understatement. Eventually, the criminality in the Oval Office may come out other ways, too. The House Ways and Means Committee has just voted to release 56 new pages of evidence showing that then-Vice President Joe Biden used multiple email aliases, hey, we knew that, didn't we, and private addresses to communicate with his crackhead son's business associates and main financial architect, directly refuting all the public statements and lies by the fake president. That he had no knowledge whatsoever of any of his son's business dealings. No, he was just a big guy. And there's this from the Gateway Pundit as well, although in truth this was picked up by a number of actual news outlets. At a news conference, New York Post reporter Stephen Nelson asked the senile criminal big guy the following question. Quote, there's polling by the Associated Press that shows almost 70% of Americans, including 40% of Democrats, believe you acted either illegally or unethically in regards to your family's business interests, he said. Can you explain to the Americans, to Americans amid this impeachment inquiry, which, by the way, is, at least that's what they're telling us, maybe going to happen, why you interacted with so many of your son and brother's foreign business associates, whereupon Biden snapped at the New York Post reporter and said,
I'm not going to comment, I did not, and it was just a bunch of lies.
You didn't interact with any of their business associates?
I did not. They're lies.
After which he stormed out of the room. Okay, well, shuffled angrily out of the room. And this time, surprisingly, he managed to not bump into a wall. I guess he was really pissed, folks. Before we change gears, though, here's another story, an outrage, in fact, that I saw first via TGP. And it hits pretty close to home. I used to live not too far from Jefferson County and actually flew into what was then called Jeffco Airport, one of the major Denver area relievers in the Front Range fairly frequently, is nowhere safe for children. Ask this story, actually originally up on the Western Journal. It wasn't long ago, it says, that parents could send their kids to school, worried only that they might be dumbed down, but not anymore. Now transgender ideologues have infiltrated every aspect of society, especially the public indoctrination centers. And get this, in Colorado, it says, some school administrators and teachers are now being accused of intentionally subjecting vulnerable students to transgender ideology without the parents even knowing about it. The Daily Signal is also reporting this. During a cross-country trip back in June, see how long it took for this to come out? Jefferson County Public Schools, listen carefully here, assigned a fifth-grade girl to sleep in the same bed with a fifth-grade boy. Doesn't say exactly how much of his male equipment he still had and whether it had been completely neutered yet or not, but he identified as transgendered, and they didn't bother to notify either the girl or her parents. According to a demand letter sent to the system and to school superintendent Tracy Dorland by the Alliance Defending Freedom. The ADF is representing the 11-year-old girl's parents, Joe and Serena Wales, who want the school to answer for those policies, according to the Daily Signal. The story says that the two kids, identified only by initials, were assigned to the same bed, and sometime during the evening, the boy told the girls that he identified as a girl. The story doesn't tell us whether or not he proved it, but the girl, identified only as DW, we know her last name, though, just wasn't having it. She was afraid to share a bed with a boy, so she sneaked into the bathroom and called her mother. and then went down and met her in the lobby. The girl was terrified, said her mom, and I was really upset, she told the Daily Signal. One, I was really upset that she was put in this situation at age 11. I don't think it's fair to put kids in that kind of a situation. And two, we, meaning the parents, weren't even given the information that this was a possibility before the trip. The whole time they're telling us, girls on one floor, boys on another, and they're not going to be in each other's rooms unless it's pre-approved. Well, folks, I guess it turns out this was. By the way, what does the school district claim? Well, they were just concerned about KEM's privacy and feelings. I guess I could say, screw the real girls' feelings, but ooh, that might hit way too close to home. And the teachers weren't even allowed to tell anyone that KEM was a self-professed transgender, even though the boy later voluntarily chose to share that information. Kind of makes you wonder what else he might have shared, too. But wait a minute. Let's be honest here. It's what the school district is trying to share that's a hell of a lot worse by any measure. And how many times and how many different areas of human endeavor do we have to see that when something is dangerous, or especially if it's particularly outright deadly, Big Brother, in any of his guises or any of his minions or public-private partners, from school districts to corporate board members, will hide it from you, lie about it, cover it up, and if necessary, and you figure it out, come after you with their goon squads, their Gestapo, and their government guns, the kinds that you're not allowed to have anymore, because, well, you know why now, don't you? Next, let's turn to one of the many reasons why the founders wisely decided that the Second Amendment should be in the Constitution, because the God-given right to keep and bear arms and defend ourselves from the kind of people that are now going apeshit in America deserves to have been protected. Today's gun-free killing zone reminder, 3 people are dead, 1 critically injured after a gunman, the kind that gun controls allow to roam unimpeded, opened fire at the University of Nevada's campus in Las Vegas, said police on Wednesday evening. 3 sources told NBC News, the Daily Mail picked it up too, that the gunman, who's now dead, because at least a cop eventually showed up and had a gun, was a man in his 60s, but his connection, if any, to the university, they say, is unclear. The Las Vegas sheriff praised the heroic officer who finally stopped the gunman, but said, quote, they have no idea on a motive. Well, not so fast there. We might have a bit of input on that in just a second. And this is telling. Even if a little bit eyebrow-raising, they were unable to specify what weapon he used. That almost sounds like they didn't have a press release ready. And this, say the anti-gunners, follows on the heels of other mass shootings, like in the leftist communist mecca of Austin, Texas. After the Biden-Fuhrer did his expected grave dance and read from the teleprompter, the usual anti-constitutional BS, the Gateway Pundit came out with a bit more on the actual story, first in Las Vegas. Anthony Pulido, they said, age 67, has now been identified as a shooter who killed 3 staff members at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Detectives reported he was killed in a police shootout after he opened fire on them, and authorities reported that Pulido was a professor, right there, you know, he was probably far left, in North Carolina and in Georgia, and applied to be one at UNLV, but was not hired. Shortly after he was identified, the New York Post, though, discovered Polito's website, on which he claims to have decoded the Zodiac Killer's letters and had a section dedicated to the greatest minds of the 20th century, among which he included none other than George Soros. And there's quite a few other atheists and leftists in that list as well. This, though, you actually may be allowed to hear. Another section of his site was entitled Powerful Organizations Bent on World Domination, and I guess even the left might recognize a few of these. The list included elitists and families like the Illuminati, Freemasons, the Bohemian Grove, the Rothschilds, Bilderbergers, and dozens of others. On into Austin, because with the exception of leftist hellholes like Austin, Houston, San Antonio, and Dallas, Texans have a reputation for understanding the value of keeping and bearing arms. We've seen more than a few wannabe mass shooters thwarted by good old boys with guns down there. And so even in Austin, you might expect that a shooting spree wouldn't be allowed to go on all day. Well, unless there's a reason. Citizens of Austin, Texas, says Infowars.com, whose founder Alex Jones is no stranger to the right to keep and bear arms, were not properly informed, says this piece, about a mass shooting taking place all around them on Tuesday, according to online complaints. 34-year-old Shane James was the suspect arrested Thursday night by Austin PD after he killed 6 people and injured 3 others, including 2 cops, in separate incidents that took place throughout the large city. But Austin Second Amendment activist, podcast host, and gun shop owner Michael Cargill posted a timeline of the events on X on Wednesday. noting that the guy was, quote, able to go on an all-day shooting spree from shooting police officers to shooting a cyclist on the road. He reportedly killed both of his parents in San Antonio before heading to an Austin high school, where else, and shooting and injuring first a school officer. Then over an hour after that shooting, James was said to have killed a man and woman in their home. He then took a vehicle, shot and wounded a cyclist pedaling down a busy street, and tried entering another nearby home, where police eventually responded to a burglary and found James in the backyard with two more dead bodies. The story posts a link of all the locations involved in various shootings, and Cargill blamed the, quote, lack of transparency from AISD police for the fact that the situation continued as long as it did. And several locals have now vented their frustrations online about the complete lack of public warning. Said one of them, just what's the point of text message alerts if they aren't being used for these type of situations? That's certainly a good question, and another individual just may have answered it if it's not becoming increasingly obvious. No one's coming to save you, he said. You'd better have the means and knowledge to defend yourself and your family, plus, at the very least, be able to stop the bleeding. Since people were killed before police arrived, and those that were killed obviously didn't even know what was coming, there should be a message here. The cynics among us folks might even suggest, wouldn't it have been awful if an armed citizen had actually stopped this thing before police in the leftist mecca of Austin had to step in and do it for them, and some of them killed as well? Yeah, that would send a message that you really aren't going to be allowed to hear. Armed citizens have stopped wannabe mass murders in gun-free killing zones that turned out not to be gun-free any number of times of late, folks. And yeah, the regime really wants to clamp a lid on all of those. Well, in the time remaining, let's cover a bit more tyranny if we can. The Biden regime threatened to deploy U.S. troops, said another piece from InfoWars, into direct conflict with Russia, if Congress refuses to cave in and approve their $100-plus billion, for starters, request for more funding for the World War III front in Ukraine, in a desperate plea to Congress for more funding before Christmas. Yeah, you got to give the big guy a big Christmas present. Biden baselessly claimed that Russian President Vladimir Putin plans to invade NATO once he's defeated Ukraine. And wait a minute, that was never supposed to happen, wasn't it? If we gave him, oh, hundreds of billions of bucks and all of our defensive armament to use somewhere else, anywhere else other than the southern border? Said the Fuhrer, if Biden takes Ukraine, he won't stop there. Oops, folks, was that a Freudian slip? Yeah, if Russia takes Ukraine, he won't stop there. If Putin attacks a NATO ally, if he keeps going, then he attacks a NATO ally, we've committed as a NATO member to defend every inch of NATO territory, and we'll have something we don't seek. Well, who's he kidding? Yeah, we know exactly what they're seeking. And that we don't have today, he continued to lie, American troops fighting Russian troops. You could almost see him slobber right onto his Pampers. He also claimed that Republicans were holding the financial aid that he so desperately wants to get that big guy cut from hostage in what he called a partisan bid to get more U.S. border funding. How dare people think that the border in this country needs to be defended? There are bribes at stake here. Quote, extreme Republicans, he said, are playing chicken with our national security. Holding Ukraine's funding hostage to their extreme partisan border policies. I mean, really, who cares if you guys get invaded and terrorized and have your homes blown up? We were already intending to take it all away from you anyway. Which does lead me to close with a couple of, interesting items. One, the Congress seems to have told him to go pound salt. And two, a breaking story says over 12,000 illegal invaders have now come across the open, non-existent southern border in one single day. And that, too, is a new Biden-Fuhrer record, the highest ever recorded, as the mass invasion catastrophe, as some are calling it, spirals wildly out of control. And by the way, as InfoWars often points out, these jaw-dropping figures still don't include known or unknown gotaways or other illegal entries via other U.S. borders or other ports of entry. In other words, folks, the Communist Chinese, MS-13, Hamas, et al. Invaders continue to literally have their way with a nation that's no longer even a real nation. By the way, this story too. Some of the invaders were interviewed at the southern border. One of them appropriately said, I love you, Biden. Thank you for everything. And that, folks, speaks volumes. Be aware. Be on guard. Pay attention. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.